Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, how are you? Hope you're having a great Wednesday as we head downhill to another football weekend. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Podcast numbers continue to go up. We thank you for that very much. If you happen to listen to our podcast through the Apple Podcast app or iTunes, please leave us a review, because we got more room here in the club for all of our football fans and sports fans. So you can get your sports fix with us. And, of course, Penn State football getting closer to the Friday night kick. This will be the first Friday regular season game for the Nittany Lions since 1982. Penn State, Illinois. We'll get more on that later tonight here on WKOK. We'll have the Coach's Show featuring James Franklin from Primanti Brothers, a special Wednesday edition tonight, 6:05 with Steve and Roger Corey. And, of course, head coach James Franklin. Team will leave for Champaign tomorrow. And then once the Shikellamy Braves are finished on Friday night, we'll go to Penn State, Illinois here on WKOK. Speaking of Shikellamy, we'll dive into some football conversation on the high school level, too. We'll have our high school football roundtable. Greg Wetzel will be in studio. We'll talk Lewisburg Shimokin. Dick Hort, our Shikellamy Braves analyst here on WKOK. Horty will call in, and we'll get his preview of Shikellamy Jersey Shore. And a big one for Sewens Grove on Friday night. Berwick's going to come calling to Harold L. Bullock Memorial Field. And our Eagle 107 Seals stat man, the Z-man, Zach Showers, he'll be checking in too. All part of our high school football roundtable in the next half hour. Wow, what a circus. What a soap opera going on in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Antonio Brown did show up this morning. No truth to the rumor that he brought milk and cookies in for the teammates when he finally showed up after not being there on Monday at the facility. We will get the latest from Pittsburgh with the terrific Ron Cook. Cookie from Pittsburgh Post-Gazette will be on at 4:06. More Steelers talk tomorrow with Neil Coulong from the NFL Wire Network. And Steve will be in Champaign doing the show live on Friday between 3 and 5 before he heads to the stadium for Penn State, Illinois on Friday night. And, of course, we'll have our weekly football picks with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. He'll call in from Connecticut. I've taken the lead in the picks, by the way. Had a killer week. Only one loss last week. So we'll find out if it's an anomaly. It probably will be. Start strong, finish weak. That's how I've been doing in the picks the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. What are you doing now?
I'm leading in the picks.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. And you and your brother are tied, one game behind, so...
Yeah.
It's not like this is a horse race secretariat situation where I'm ahead by like 30 lengths. There's nothing like that.
So I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, now we have the high school roundtable today.
Yes.
Josh Showers, always dependable. He's done every show, hasn't he?
Last year as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Greg Wetzel, done every show, hasn't he?
In the chair, ready to go.
And then there's always the unpredictability of the other chair.
You're correct about that.
I mean, do we have any guess as to who might fill it this week?
Horty will be calling up at 3:35.
Oh, I love talking to Horty. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Play-by-play guy putting out fires.
Remember the famous line from the Brady Bunch that Greg used to break a date? and Marcia needed advice on how to break a date, and Greg said, just use that famous line, something suddenly came up.
Yeah.
That's what I was told from the suit about an hour and a half ago. Something suddenly came up. Called up Coach Hort. We're good to go.
Well, again, the ability to have dependability. That's Coach Hort.
I like that.
The ability to have dependability.
You should trademark that. That's awesome. That's a great line.
You know, it's...
Then once the football thing and basketball thing's over with it and you can go from business to business, that could be the lead theme of your PowerPoint presentation.
The ability to have dependability. I may just throw that at Franklin tonight. And see how it goes. Jersey Shore's at Shikellamy, Lewisburg at Shamokin, Berwick at Sealands Grove. Those will be the games we'll be previewing. Then Ron Cook, who wrote a great article about Antonio Brown, about your guy. Your guy, Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I just don't think I'm going to go to work on Monday.
Yeah.
Right? And you wonder where the suit gets it from.
Well, I'd rather have him get it from Antonio Brown than from Le'Veon Bell. He was posting, Le'Veon Bell was posting pictures, I believe, from Miami. He was hosting... I guess he just released some new rap music, so it was like an EP release party. So yeah, there was some.
Great.
Oh, I know. No, not really. Stick to football, please. But yeah, he's posting Instagram pictures with some scantily clad gals. I don't know. Didn't seem like really a big, highly attended EP release party for 26. Yeah.
Okay. This is who you're pinning your season on?
It's moving in the wrong direction very, very quickly.
I think Ron Cook brings up an interesting question. Has Mike Tomlin lost the ability to control his team? Okay. Now, maybe he hasn't. I also notice you're not winning. Interesting. You got Tampa Bay. Now, is that game at home?
That is at Tampa, and it's Monday night.
Dude, you're going to roast.
I know.
It's going to be warm.
Talking about the temperature or the score? Both?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay does have some offensive talent. They do have that. Now, you got Roethlisberger. James Conner has done a good job. I mean, again, the difference between James Conner and how he runs the ball compared to other teams, he's as fine as anybody. Problem is Le'Veon Bell brought all these other elements to the table that Conner, everybody has their own skill set, he just doesn't have. But as a base NFL running back, James Conner is a good base NFL running back. Le'Veon Bell is an exceptional receiver, blocker, running back. He's exceptional. But this is what had all the ingredients of what many thought could be a really, really good team. The second Bell decided not to report, which was a complete curveball compared to what he did last year, you could kind of tell that it took something away from that team. And part of what I think it took away from the team was confidence. You know, they had a chance to put Cleveland away. I mean, that's the Cleveland Browns they're trying to put away, okay? The Browns, who've won one game since 2015. Okay, one game since 2015. One. Who knows? One. Couldn't put them away. Up two scores, couldn't put them away. Then last week, Patrick Mahomes torched them. And offensively, look, Roethlisberger in that offense, they put some points up, they put some pressure on them, the whole deal. But that game looked so much like the Jacksonville game. It was ridiculous. And that looked like the Jacksonville playoff game.
Sure did. I was there for that.
And that Jacksonville playoff game had Le'Veon Bell.
It did.
Blake Bortles torched them. Patrick Mahomes making his third career start torched them. I say this, Mahomes throws a nice ball, though, doesn't he? Woo. And, you know, Mahomes, look, he grew up in a professional household. His dad was a really good... His dad was not a great pitcher, but he also was not a mediocre pitcher. His dad was a good pitcher. Many years. I want to say mostly with the Twins. And, so he's been around professionals his entire life. So this kid knows a clubhouse. He knows a locker room. He knows how you're supposed to conduct and handle yourself.
Yeah, Travis Kelce was quoted after the game. I was open all day long. Well, when you're down Joe Haden, and when you got Artie Burns out there, and Sean Davis, I thought, had a little bit of a down game, and most of the time you want to play cover two, and they're thin at middle linebacker with no Ryan Shazier, I mean, you got a huge swath of green that's open all day long. That's one of the other frustrating points out of all this with the Steelers defense.
They're 0-1-1. Look, one win, they're back to 500. And nobody's 500 in week three. Okay. Now they got to play at Tampa Bay, though. You know what's interesting about Kansas City? 2-0, they haven't played a home game yet. Kansas City haven't played a home game yet. But that was a very interesting game on Sunday. And they couldn't stop anybody. Well, now we'll find out. They're going to have to try and stop this passing attack. And again, you just don't know with Ryan Fitzpatrick who's going to show up. You just don't. He's had a great history of going to new teams, getting off to really good starts in September, and then tailing off. That's really been his pattern. Now, the bad news for the Steelers, it's still September. And the bad news for the Steelers is it's still the same personnel trying to stop him.
I just wonder Monday night if Chris Godwin could be the X factor for the Bucs offense.
Oh, he's good. Evans is a great player.
Yeah.
And Godwin's really good. I mean, they got a good team. And
look how DeSean Jackson has been performing with Ryan.
DeSean Jackson. Yeah, I mean, Jackson's terrific. Balances off Evans. I mean, they're just not bad. And, I mean, right now, I mean, the Steelers do not generate enough pass rush to offset the secondary. Just don't do it. Is don't generate enough pass rush. I mean, at some point you got to look out at a guy like Bud Dupree and say, Bud, I might have made a mistake on that draft. Bud Dupree is a perfect example of what I say all the time. If you are a first-round pick, you have to play your way out of the league. Okay? If you're a seventh-round pick, you got to play your way into the league. Well, what exactly has Bud Dupree done to warrant a second contract?
Well, some of the plays that he has played well on, let's just say they're few and far between. A few flashes of greatness here and there.
Yeah.
And that was the thing going between year one and year two. You're just, well, okay, when is that light bulb above his head finally going to come on and stay on?
Still waiting. And, you know, again, what has he done to warrant a big second contract? But he's a first-round pick. They're going to give him every opportunity to get there. And T.J. Watt had a good opening week. He was okay this week. And let's not discount. Losing Shazier changed that defense. Changed everything. Because Shazier was a star in this league. Really, really good. Terrific athlete, good instincts. But, you know, unfortunately what happened. And it really changed the dynamics of a lot of things. But offensively, you know, guess what? Too many divas. You got a diva in Florida making rap videos. You got a diva skipping practice on Monday. Show up and play. It's time to show up and play ball. You know, and I understand that
that Bell's holding out. He wants to get the big contract. I'm like, I understand all that. You know, there's only a limited window to play these games in life. I got that part. But let's take a long, hard look at the number of people that wanted to skip work today and just say the heck with it for the day. There's probably a list. I mean, in the next half hour, we got one of them skipping. All right, so we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
High School Roundtable coming up in the next half hour. Preview the three games that we're carrying this weekend. Don't forget Sean on Eagle 107 will have the area's best post-game coverage on Friday night.
I appreciate looking that very much. Yeah, we'll also get a report from Bloomsburg South Williamsport. Sneaky good game Friday night. Bloomsburg playing.
Oh, good. Very nice. So we'll get that rolling for you. And next half hour, Zach Schauer is going to preview Sealands Grove. They're going to be at home with Berwick. And we're going to get Greg Wetzel on. We're going to talk about Lewisburg playing at Shamokin. And then the coach de court will join us for Jersey Shore at Shikellamy. Game that both teams need at this stage. And, of course, Shikellamy looking, I mean, Shikellamy needs a score. They haven't had a point in 15 quarters, right? Does that sound right?
Not since week one.
Well, that was a long time ago. That was in August. So that's a long time. So we'll get those games previewed for you. And, of course, Sealands Grove will be on Eagle 107. Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. And, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll have Shikellamy, which will then lead into Penn State and Illinois on Friday night. Coming up in the show tomorrow, Neil Coulong is going to join us. Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, is going to join us. Great to have you with us on the show today. We're going to talk some high school football coming up. Just a few moments. Then Ron Cook on the soap opera that is the Steelers. Sean is depressed. The suit still thinks Jerome Bettis plays. Eagles are 1-1. The Redskins are 1-1. And the Steelers are 0-1-1.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors TM, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our high school roundtable. We're going to start out with Jersey Shore playing at Shikellamy. And the coach, Dick Hort, joins us. Horty, great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Steve. How are you today?
Doing well, my friend. And let's get to Shikellamy. When you watch them offensively, Dick, what are you seeing and what aren't you seeing?
Well, what you're not seeing is a whole lot of blocking. And there's a lot of inexperience out there. And you put those two things together, and it's not a real good formula for success.
Is there any way that you can scheme around that, or is it just a fact of life and you have to somehow figure out a way?
Well, they just got to continue to get better. Todd has gone from the run-pass option offense the last 2 weeks and gone back to the traditional wing T, which he ran for years. And at times, they seem to pick it up better. But it takes time. He's got a tremendous amount of sophomores out there, a lot of inexperience. You got to remember, last year they had a great class of seniors. They had 7 or 8 seniors that were good football players. They were good leaders. They were good people, and they lost those kids. And they just don't come out of nowhere. It takes time to develop more people like that, and that's hurting them to a large extent also.
It was also a team that last year had the propensity to score on defense. I want to say they had 7 defensive touchdowns last year.
That is true.
Well, are they playing defensively? And B, how tough is it when you can't count on those points?
It seems to me that the only way they can really stop the run this year is when they bring people on almost every play. And you've been around football long enough to know when you're bringing people on almost every play, if you're up against a team that can block and you have a kid that can throw the football, you're going to get lit up. And 2 weeks ago against Loyal Sox, they got lit up for over 400 yards in the air. And last week against Sealands Grove, again, they got lit up for almost 400 yards in the air. So, you know, it's not a good combination. Yeah, you can shut down the run. As a matter of fact, against Loyal Sock, I think they held Loyal Sock to 2.5 yards per rush. But when they wanted to throw the football, they could throw it at will, and that really hurts them.
Yeah, the lower you go, NFL, college to high school, one-on-one coverage becomes incredibly problematic the lower you go, because for obvious reasons. And if you're locked up on one-on-one, Coach, you and I both know at the high school level, that receiver and that quarterback aren't going to win the vast majority of the time.
Well, that's true. And they had the last 2 weeks against Loyal Sock, they had a receiver who, in my estimation, is maybe the best high school receiver, throwing out Julian Fleming, that I've seen in the last 10 years here in the Central Susquehanna Valley. His name's Gerald Ross. This kid was fantastic. He's like a vacuum cleaner, maybe about 6 foot, 6'1", 175 pounds. Anything that got near him, he caught. And we just didn't have anybody that could stick with that kid. We had some kids that actually had fairly decent coverage on him, and he was just outstanding. He caught 10 passes for 189 yards and had 2 called back that were 50 and 60 yards. Mm. So he's an excellent receiver.
Coach, give me a thumbnail as to what you think of this matchup with Jersey Shore.
Well, Jersey Shore, on paper, shouldn't have a bad team, but they're 1-3. They lost 17-14 the first game of the year to what they tell me is a good Bellefonte team. I don't know. I don't have too much experience with them. The second game of the year, they played Sealands Grove, and Sealands Grove beat them 31-10. But I talked to the people from Sealands Grove last week, and they said that, Dick, everything in that game went in our favor. Every call, every bounce of the ball, everything went in our favor. They're a better football team than a 31-10 score. And then the third week of the season, they played Montoursville, who was undefeated, and they handed it to them pretty good. And then last week, they got steamrolled by Mount Carmel. They gave up 10 yards of rush and got beat 47-7. Now Mount Carmel's a real good football team with 2 great running backs. But Jersey Shore has given up about 6.4 yards of play right now on the season, and about 14 or 15 yards per completion, and they're only rushing the ball for about 3 yards, and overall they're getting about 3.2 yards per play for the season, only completing about 34-35% of their passes. They have some good kids back from last year's team, which was a district final team, a quarterback by the name of Tanner Lorson, a wide receiver, Kobe Peacock, and they have 2 twins, Kyle Toome and David Toome. One is a defensive lineman who was a good player in a lot of all-star teams, and the other one was a running back who gained almost 1,000 yards. So they have some people there, and Shekelemi should be in the ball game, but I think it's probably going to be decided on breaks.
Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Lane. Look forward to the broadcast coming up on Friday.
All right, we'll see you, Steve. Have a good weekend.
You too, Dick. Thanks so much. Dick Hort, the coach. All right, that game's on News Radio 1070 WKOK, 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock, the kickoff leading into Penn State, Illinois. Zach Showers now joins us. Zach, great to have you with us. Berwick is at Selins Grove. Has Selins Grove gained a measure of confidence based on what they were able to do last week with Shekelemi?
I think they definitely did. We all know that Shick struggled coming into that game, but after really a scoreless first half or a scoreless first quarter, Selins Grove was pretty much dominant the rest of the way. They were able to throw the ball all over the place. Danny Schock had his first 300-yard game as a freshman. They were able to establish a number of weapons in the passing game. A number of guys had some big runs, Nate Schoen and Joe Kahn. And overall, the defense just played really well. Blaze Ziders from the defensive tackle position had 10 tackles and 2 tackles for loss and a sack. So overall, it was just a really solid game on both sides of the ball.
All right. Now, sometimes you get some fool's gold. So what are a couple of areas still not quite to the liking of the coaching staff?
I think the biggest question mark, but that saw some improvement, is probably the offensive line. Selins Grove was down 3 starters for a number of the first couple games. Last week was really the first week all season where the entire offensive line that you figured in the off season would be starting was back. And at times they played really well, opened up holes, protected the quarterback. And at other times, they struggled a little bit, some of it just getting the rust off. And there was a number of penalties last week as well. Selins Grove had 10 penalties in the game, and a number of them were on holding calls, especially in the second half. So I think the biggest thing is just continuing to shore up that offensive line, shore up that protection, and just continue to develop consistency and depth at every position.
There was a way that they played the last few years for obvious reasons. Have they started to adapt to the way they need to play to make this particular team win?
I think so. I think, and going into the season, we heard a lot of talk about the running game and establishing that. And honestly, this Selins Grove team, from a philosophy on offense, actually looks very similar to last year's team. You're still seeing a lot of the spread concepts. You're still seeing a lot of 3-4 wide receivers. And Danny Schock is dropping back and throwing the ball. I think the biggest, two biggest things that they did last week, especially in the passing game, was their emergence of the tight end, Wyatt Metzger. He's a junior, really changed his body in the offseason, grew into the tight end position. He caught 7 passes for 124 yards and a touchdown. And they also found ways early to get the running backs involved in the screen game. So overall, not a lot has changed. I think just the coaching staff is becoming more comfortable letting Schock throw the ball, but also finding ways early that he can get some easy throws in and gain confidence for the rest of the game.
How do you view the game coming up on Friday night at Shamokin? At home with Berwick.
Berwick's a tough team. They're 4-0. They come in. They have an offensive line that's averaging 254 pounds. A guy, 3 seniors and 2 juniors. They're interesting on tape. There's sometimes when you see them, they show up. They're running out 3-4 wide receivers and running read option. And then the next play, they look like they're the 80s and 90s Berwick with 3 backs in the backfield and power running game. So it's going to be a big test for the Selins Grove defense. Outside of Southern Columbia, they've actually done a really, really good job in the stopping the opposing running team. But we'll see. I think it's definitely going to be a tough matchup. Hopefully you see some improvement over what you saw against Southern Columbia. I think just a win against Schick last week and being at home is going to help that. But Salins Grove is definitely in for a tough matchup on Friday night.
Zach, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks. Have a great rest of your day.
Berwick and Salins Grove on Eagle 107 coming up on Friday night. And Lewisburg is playing at Shamokin. Greg Wetzel joins us. Greg, always great to have you with us in studio.
Great to be here. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well, Greg. Thanks for asking. Let's get to Lewisburg. All right, we've seen a body of work to this point, okay? So what are the strengths to build upon, which will then follow up with what are the areas that need to be shored up?
I think their offense and defensive lines have been a strength so far this year. Lewisburg's averaging over 400 yards a game offensively. They have Max Moyers, who, if you look at stats for Pennsylvania, he's ranked fifth in the state of Pennsylvania in rushing right now. He has just over 700 yards on the season. He has 10 touchdowns rushing. They average 254 yards a game rushing. I can't tell you the number of sacks they have right now, but they're probably averaging about 3 to 4 sacks a game. So offense and defensive line, and they're a veteran group. You know, they have three seniors and two juniors playing on the offense and defensive lines. So that seems to be the strength.
So, Greg, if this is a team that is in front, how do you feel in that broadcast booth about their ability to put the game away because of their running game?
Oh, I feel very confident. I think the coaching staff does also. And that's not talking about their passing game. They have a backup quarterback, Steve, that is 13 for 16 on the year. And in high school, that's kind of unheard of. And he's had a lot of experience because they've had two games where they've scored 60 points, and he's been able to play like a full game right now.
So now the flip part, if they get behind, obviously he'd be the solution. But if they get behind and the running game is taken away from them because of the score at the time, what is your confidence level of the ability to come back?
Well, they losing Dylan Farinato hurts their offensive passing game.
No doubt.
They do have some players that can get open, but they don't have the breakaway speed that Dylan has. And I think that's probably the one detriment to their passing game. They have a tight end that they finally got involved last week. That he caught 3 passes for 115 yards in the game last week. So they have the ability. It's just if they know they're going to pass, can that offensive line pass block and protect their quarterback?
All right, so now about the ability to protect. How have you felt about the secondary and linebacker play in the pass game, especially against some of the spread offenses you see from time to time?
They have two cornerbacks that have really been good in man-to-man coverage. In there's Coleman Witherite, and they have a little guy that's 5'5", 135 pounds. And Andrew, his last name just escapes me right now. But he has 2 interceptions and could have 4 or 5 if he was 6 feet, he would have 4 or 5 interceptions for touchdowns. He's had that good of coverage on the receiver. So that doesn't faze me. Their safety play sometimes leaves a little to be desired. They come up a lot in run support, and they can get beat on double moves sometimes. Linebackers. Their linebacking core has done a great job, led by Draven Dobler. He has done a great job for them last 2 years, in fact. Ethan Spaulding, he leads the team in sacks. So defensively, at the linebacker position, they're in good shape.
Because you and I know, Greg, in today's game with mobile quarterbacks, spread attacks, there's that fine line for a safety or a linebacker as to how much they come up and how deep they drop because, I mean, that's a tough spot to be in.
Oh, it really is. And this year they have 2 kids that haven't played there before playing in the secondary. And, again, that was Dylan Farinato's position, the free safety, and he's not there right now. And the strong safety is somebody that hasn't played there before. But, you know, right now they've been able to get away with it because they've been able to get good pressure on the quarterbacks, which has helped them in pass coverage. And, you know, that's something we'll have to see when we get there. But right now we haven't played a team, with the exception of Sealands Grove, that has been primarily a passing team. And it was Sealands Grove, it was the freshman quarterback's first game. So they've kind of lucked out that way.
So, Greg, give us a feel for the matchup with Shamokin.
Offensively, they're going to be two similar teams. That they both run a multiple offense. Coach Hynoski, though, you know, he's the fullback from Southern Columbia. He's the fullback from the New York Giants. And guess what? He has a fullback at Shamokin.
Yeah.
Doesn't carry the ball much, but he's like a guard in the backfield. He's an extra lineman. So I think they're going to show it, try a power running game against Lewisburg, and that's what Lewisburg wants to do because they want to force Shamokin to beat them through the air. If they play their games, I think Lewisburg's fine. But it's turnovers, of course, would be important in that concept. But I think Lewisburg has the ability to stop their run game right now.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time very much. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
It'll be on 100.9 The Valley coming up on Friday night. So Friday night it will be Lewisburg playing at Shamokin on 100.9 The Valley, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. Berwick is at Sealands Grove on Eagle 107, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime. Then don't forget Sean's there after the game as well with the area's best postgame show. And then on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Shikellamy will be at home against Jersey Shore, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime, which will lead right into Penn State and Illinois. Our thanks to Zach, to the coach Dick Hort, and also to Greg for joining us in this segment. Ron Cook next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Always tell the hangers-on there at the end. No. Oh, stop laughing. So did the big meeting pan out?
They must still be in the meeting. I've not seen anyone leave the room yet. Actually, I haven't even left my room. I can't even tell you what room they're in. They're probably over in the conference room.
He's the only one in the room, isn't he?
I did speak with one other colleague of ours. That there'd be more than one, at least more than one in the meeting today.
Well, that's a first. Okay, that's
well for this week. Yeah, yeah. Okay, onward and upward. Yeah,
yeah, terrific. Is this under the category of his job or putting out fires?
I guess it could be depending on the depending on the content of the meeting. It could be a little bit of both, depending on how things shake out in the meeting.
In other words, I don't know and I can't say.
Right. We'll stand put over here.
We'll just stay over here on the side of the building. It'll be all good.
All good.
Nice and safe. Not a big news day, sports-wise. Not enough flowing on this particular day. So, I mean, most of the stories are pretty even and basic. You know, it's a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. Can't believe Alabama picked Tua Tagovailoa. How could you possibly pick that guy to be your quarterback?
On the Alabama scheme of things, the one facet of this that really doesn't get a lot of play, at least I haven't heard, it's just the it's who's starting. That's the burning question. Who's starting each week? But I mean, I can't think of a better in major power five football a two quarterback a combination like those two, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, but you know what, at some point that's the dam has got to break there. This is the fourth week of the season coming up. Okay, fine. I want to know what Jalen Hurts wants to do once he's got four games under his belt. Does he want to say adios? Or does he want to keep going? That, to me, is the big question, because he is not going to be the starter.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.